This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access radio station, and I'm Lynn Trafford presenting Rotary Wheels on behalf of the Rotary Club of Ahuriri Sunrise in Napier. This program is kindly sponsored by Glen's Pharmacy in Taradale. Do you need a passport photo or photo ID? Glen's Pharmacy staff will get your photo right first time. No second visit required because your photo has been declined. Electronically or digitally, your photo will meet your requirements. Visit Glen's Pharmacy, Taradale. With me in the studio today is fellow Rotarian Caroline Lamp, who for the 2023-2024 Rotary year is president of the Rotary Club of Ahuriri in Napier. You get to know a lot about Rotary when you take on the role of president, which each of us does for various personal reasons and at a time that fits into our family and business lives. We take our role hoping to make worthy contributions to our clubs and to Rotary. This is the second time Caroline Lamp has been president of her club. Let's meet her and find out why she joined Rotary and why she's taken on the role of president twice. Hello, Caroline.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you in the studio this morning and thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. Now, you told me off air you joined Rotary in 2007. Which club did you join and why did you join that one?
I joined Rotary in 2007 because I was invited to come along by a fellow Rotarian who belonged to that club, and I had known for some time. We'd worked on a board together. And I joined, at that time, the Rotary Club of Ahuriri and have stayed with that club throughout.
Who asked you to join?
Lynn Anderson, who yes. was a member of the club already.
Yeah, that's right. And a well-known Rotarian at Ahuriri anyway, isn't she? We know her very, very well. I want to take you right back, please, Caroline, to your first meeting. Do you remember your first meeting and meeting all the other Rotarians at Ahuriri? How did it sit for you? Was it a comfortable experience, do you recall?
Yes, it was comfortable. People were friendly and welcoming, and I met a number of them. The president at the time was very affable, and it seemed to me a place where I could feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You told me off air that you thought it would be a good networking organisation for you to join. Did it turn out like that?
Yes, it did. Yes. Now, I was managing social services in the Hawke's Bay area at the time, and it seemed to me a good way to meet folk who might be able to help the kind of work that I was doing.
And did that turn out?
It did turn out. In fact, I got two fellow Rotarians to join a board of an organisation I was engaged in. So that was an example of the networking and how it could work for you.
It's nice when life works out like that, isn't it?
It is indeed.
It's really, really good. Right, when we join Rotary, usually the first thing that happens to you is you're plonked on a committee somewhere to get to know your fellow Rotarians and get to know some of what Rotary is all about. Did that happen to you?
Fairly quickly, I think, from memory, it did. I got one of the positions looking after one of the areas of interest. And the first time I became president was actually not terribly long after I joined as well.
All right. Now, I looked up your president-elect year. And this is our year of learning, isn't it? Was 2010-2011, and it must have seemed ages ago, really in the dim, dark ages, when you look at what has happened to you since that time. So let's talk a little bit about your first president-elect time, because it's so different from what has been happening these days in times of COVID and electronic meetings and such like. So you were asked by the previous president, but
Why did you say yes?
It seemed like a natural progression to some extent. I have had and still do have a number of leadership roles, and they thought that I could be useful to the club, and I believed I had the time and energy to do it. So I said I would. And the other thing about any role at Rotary, which I think is really good, is that you know from the beginning it's only going to be for 1 year, and then somebody else will have a turn. So I'm a great believer in people taking their turn and making a contribution.
Yes, yes, it's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
If everyone just sits around, particularly in Rotary, it would crumble. We wouldn't succeed. It all relies on a contribution to our local community. We go in our president Alexia to something that we call PETS. Can you explain what PETS is? First of all, what the acronym is and what happened to you?
Well, PETS is about president-elect training. And in the days when I first became president, it used to be a gathering of all the incoming presidents from around the country or the district. And in fact, it was for our whole zone, as I remember it.
It was, yes.
And that included some folk from the Pacific Islands.
Yes.
As they were coming in to become their president for the following year.
And I struck exactly the same thing. And isn't that good?
It was great. It was a great place to meet people who were going to be doing the same role, but also people who had similar interests as well.
Yeah. And learn about a club that is, in many instances, quite different from the one you belong to.
Very.
And it doesn't do us any harm.
Think it's good. I think that the clubs in the Pacific particularly are often small and have a handful of very committed people, and it seems to me that they need all the help and support they can get from those of us with bigger clubs in New Zealand.
They do. And they have quite specific needs.
Yeah.
Often, don't they?
Indeed.
And that happened to you. And while you were up there in Auckland at Waipuna Lodge, you came across a very specific need in Tonga. What did you come across?
Well, during some of the sessions, I sat next to a young woman who was going to become the president of the Rotary Club of Nuku'alofa. And when we were looking at what international projects we might become interested in, I said to her, do you have something in Tonga that would need some support from a club in New Zealand? And she said, yes, we do. We're looking to get storage systems on the Safe Women's House in Tonga. And she said, we don't have any natural water. We rely on rainwater. And the women's house doesn't have any rainwater tanks and spouting and downpipes that conserve and save the water. So when I talked to her about that a bit more, I thought, well, that's a really good project that the Rotary Club of Ahuriri could become involved in, because I had an interest in issues around family violence and supporting women survivors anyway. So it really rang bells with me.
Is this like women's refuge, that sort of thing?
Exactly the same sort of thing.
So you become president for the 2011-2012 year, and that our Rotary years swing across the middle of the year, so that's why we have half of one and half of the other. Did you do the Tongan project?
We did, yes we did.
What did you do? Did you go up there?
We didn't go up there, but we raised funds for them and funded the purchase of two large water tanks and the infrastructure they needed to set up the system to save and conserve water for the safe house.
And did they do the manual labour up in Tonga, or did someone else do it? They did?
Yeah.
Okay, they just needed dollars.
They had people here up there who helped, and their Rotary Club got involved at that end. And then we got a plaque. They asked us to get a plaque made which would go on the tanks so that it was identified as being something that was funded and contributed by the Ahariri Rotary Club.
That's nice, isn't it?
Was nice, yeah.
Do you know, have any of your members been and seen that project?
I'm not sure, but they sent us a lot of photographs back, and we you know, a lot of information about what it was like when it was completed.
It seems so simple, doesn't it?
Very easy for us here, but not so easy if you haven't got the funds there.
No, and that's what Rotary's all about. Yeah. This is Rotary on the world stage. In fact, even in your own environment, is doing something that is often very simple to us as Rotarians, but makes a huge difference
Absolutely.
To the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good. You also did something that I think is really quite, must have been quite brave at the time, but today we perhaps take a little bit more, just as a usual, I suppose. You taught your members to sing the national anthem in Māori.
Indeed. I'm an old school teacher from way back, so I'm accustomed to supporting people in their learning. And it was at a time when the country as a nation was using the Māori version of the national anthem as the first verse, particularly at sporting events
exactly.
and things
yes.
like that. And so our Rotary Club back in those days used to sing the national anthem at the end of each meeting. And I thought, it's actually time we learnt to sing it in both languages. So I printed it up on my computer, and we had it up on the screen at the end of every meeting, and they learnt to sing it in Māori. And I said to them, when you go to your next rugby game where the All Blacks are playing, you'll be able to stand up
That's
and
right.
sing it too.
Yeah.
So it was great, really. And I remember soon after that, I went on a Rotary trip to Canada, and we all sang the national anthem in Māori, which the Canadians were thrilled about.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Because we are of a generation where we did not learn to sing our national anthem in Māori. And so unless you put yourself through that process, it's not going to happen. So full marks to you for doing that. I know also that you have been on several Rotary friendship exchanges. You've been on four. I want you to explain for us, please, Caroline, what is a Rotary friendship exchange?
A Rotary Friendship Exchange is actually, I think, one of the best ways to travel. It's a small group of people, up to 12 only, Rotary members from one district in a country who visit another district in another country and are billeted by members of Rotary clubs in that district in three or four or sometimes five different locations. For 3 or 4 nights each. And it's a wonderful way to explore another country, to meet local people, and to see lots of interesting local things that you would never, ever find if you were just travelling as a tourist.
So what countries have you been to, or what areas have you been to on your tours? Your first one, where did you go for your first one?
We went to southern Alberta in Canada on the
and
first one.
And was there a highlight?
Well, yes, there were several actually, because it's a fabulous area to visit. The Calgary Stampede was a highlight. We went to the Calgary Stampede, and we had special seats for the parade organised by one of the Rotary clubs in Calgary, which meant we were up on a stand at a really good viewpoint. But we also went to some really fabulous places that the First Nations people have developed in southern Alberta. And that was really good. I don't know that you'd necessarily find those yourself either if you were travelling on your own.
That's why being with locals is so good.
Fabulous,
It's a really, you're quite right, 100% great way to see the country. Second trip, where'd we go?
I'm struggling to remember which way around they come. We've been to southern Alberta. The second trip, I'm pretty sure, was British Columbia and Washington State in America. So the Rotary District in that area crosses the border between Canada and America. I'm not sure it happens in many places.
No.
But we were some of the time in British Columbia, in the Fraser Valley area mostly, and some of the time in Washington State.
And again, billeted by Rotarians in both those areas and taken to see some unusual sights, I'm sure. You went back to southern Alberta. Why did you go back on your third Rotary Friendship Exchange? Why go back to Alberta?
Well, it's a huge area for a start with some fabulous areas to see. And we'd made great friends in the first Rotary trip that we did. So in the second one, we went actually back and did the Rotary Exchange, staying in the various places that the tour group went to. But my husband and I also visited some of the people that we had become very friendly with that we'd stayed with the first time round. And in fact, some of them have become friends forever.
And that's what's good about it as well, isn't it? That happens to just about everyone that's been away on a Rotary Friendship Exchange, or indeed billeted people here in New Zealand when they have come to us, because that's what the exchange is all about. You go there, they come here.
Yeah.
All right, the fourth trip, somewhere completely different.
This time we went to Northern Wales, the area of Snowdonia, and the Liverpool area of northwest England, so it was completely different.
Yeah. Now, I just glossed over it, but the whole idea is that they come to us as well. Have you hosted people?
Yes, we have. We've had people from America who came. There was actually a group that came from the south, from Florida, but interestingly, one of the couples were Rotarians from Washington State, who had friends that were going on that trip, and somehow they had become a part of it. So they stayed with us some years ago, and they were from St. Paul had a semi-rural background, which meant that they were interested in our rural areas here.
Yeah, nice. Wonderful thing to do, and really both of us would encourage anyone to give this a go,
Absolutely.
We not? It's a good thing to do.
Best way to travel.
Best way to travel, best way to get to know fellow Rotarians, and best way to see the world. And we hope that we offer that when they come here.
Yeah.
I've hosted several groups as well, and you always put quite a lot of effort into what it is you're going to show them, don't you?
I think the ones we've had contact with that have come, we haven't had people staying, but we've helped with transport and taken them to places and organised places to see. They've loved it.
Yes, they always do love it, as you loved going away to America, Canada and the United Kingdom. There comes a time when you're president for a second time, president for the 2023-2024 year. So as at the time of recording, we're about halfway through your year. How about you do a commercial for your club, please, Caroline? Where does your club meet and when?
The Rotary Club of Ahuriri meets at the West Shore Hotel in the evenings on a Monday. So we meet normally about 5 or 5.30 for some fellowship and a drink, and we have a meal at 6 o'clock, and then following that we have our speakers or activity for the evening.
All right. So if anyone listening is deciding that they might like to pop along, you're going to shout them a drink, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, as long as we don't get 300 all on the same night, it's all going to be very whip-de-doo. All right. Why do this a second time?
Because I can, and because I have recently retired for the second time, and I think I've got the time and the energy to do it. And the president from last year asked me if I would quite late in the piece. She was having trouble finding a president for this year. And I couldn't see any reason why I shouldn't do it, basically. And I enjoy Rotary. I enjoy the travel and the exchanges. I enjoy the camaraderie. And I'm a great believer in giving back. So there's lots that we can still be doing as a Rotary Club to assist people both here and overseas.
All right, let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on in your club at the moment and get right down to the nitty-gritty of it. Of course, if we look back to the beginning of 2023, we were handed a rather unusual opportunity, I suppose, with Cyclone Gabrielle. Can you talk about the effect of Cyclone Gabrielle on your club and what, how it might have affected your members, if there was anyone personally affected, and what you have done post-disaster?
It certainly is something that's very close to our heart. I live in Puketapu, so
greatly affected.
That area was hugely affected.
It was.
And we had people helicoptered in to us after they were evacuated off their roofs. So it was very close to home. And the whole area around Napier is still obviously very much affected. So our Rotary Club has put quite a lot of effort into cyclone support and recovery, and we've had funds from the district that we have channeled into groups that are helping families and those who have been displaced by the cyclone. And we have done a few smaller things too that, you know, people sometimes don't think about. We had, for example, when the district governor came to visit us, he brought boxes of gifts for children that had been donated by folk in the Waikato. So we actually gave those to the Napier Family Centre to give to families in Pātoka who they were working with, because children may seem unaffected by disasters and displacement, but actually the effects can often be quite long term.
That's right. And we have seen that, have we not,
yep,
in our area as well. So Cyclone Gabrielle, as Rotarians, it offered us enormous opportunity that really we could have well done without, but it helps us understand what post-disaster recovery is like in other parts of the world. It's brought, yep, it all home in a very nasty way for us, made it real. And your club has given what we call emergency response kits to be used in the Pacific Islands,
yep,
post-disaster. And did you decide to do that because of what had happened with Gabrielle, or have you been doing it for some years?
We've been involved, well, as I say, my past president year, we were involved with the project in Tonga. So the Pacific's always been close to our heart, I think, and it's they're our nearest neighbours. So we,
yeah,
we consider that, you know, we have an obligation, really, if we can, to help in that area as well as to help locally here.
That's right. Ongoing obligation, because they have disasters every year. The Starlight Trust. What is the Starlight Trust, and why have you decided as a club to support that?
The Starlight Trust is a trust that was begun in Palmerston North to provide some hope and joy to people, particularly with mental health issues, in an inpatient ward at hospital. And it spread to Wellington, and there are Rotary clubs in Wellington supporting it, and it's now in Hawke's Bay, and our club has picked up the responsibility for providing gifts for people in the mental health ward at the hospital at Christmas and at Easter, and also for children in the children's ward at the hospital here.
That's right. So you're going to do this every year for, yep, you're making a long-term commitment.
Yeah, I've committed to be the person who coordinates it, even when I'm not the president of Rotary.
Right. We might talk about it on another occasion and devote a program, I think, to the Starlight,
yeah,
Trust and exactly what it is and what it does. Meantime, thank you, Caroline Lamp, president of the Rotary Club of Ahariri, for the 2023-2024 Rotary year. Thank you for being my guest on Rotary Wheels. And we also thank you for your term in office as your club president, and we wish you all the best for the rest of your Rotary year. Should you consider contributing to your local community via Rotary, please check out Our Hariri Sunrise online as your first move. We will point you in the right direction to find a club that meets your needs. We have 11 clubs in the Greater Hawke's Bay region, one in Wairoa, five in Napier, four in Hastings and one in Waipukurau. There is much to be found online about Rotary in New Zealand and on the international stage. Please join me every Monday morning at about 9:30 to meet another interesting Rotarian from around the Bay. I'm Lynn Trafford.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.